Emma.
What?
You bought everything, you got your lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, you wore your shoes, you got everything, you got your car on.
You're listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service, from Guinea-Conakry in West Africa to Cardiff, South Wales in the UK, a portrait of the dancer and choreographer Idrissa Camara.
My name is Idrissa Camara. I am dancer and choreographer.
I know you like it, but you should wear this one.
Why do I dance? That is my identity. Is that who I am? I dance because I was in pain in the past. I can release the anger, I can release the pain. I dance stories, I dance my history, I dance my past. I was born in Guinea, West Africa. I live in Cardiff in South Wales. But that is only part of my story.
Why don't we start with you as a young boy? What's your first memory?
The first thing I remember in my life is when I was 3 to 4 years old, before I left my parent. My dad was sitting down on the side of the mango tree. So on the other side, it was one beautiful mango. It's red. What he needs somebody to eat him. We try to coin the mango with the stone.
Try to knock it down.
Yeah, try to knock it down. And my dad was there. Wow, okay. I will see who is my really blood. The man who is my really blood, he will get that mango. And we all try. And at the end, I take the rock, I go, puff. And the mango come down and say, yeah, my son.
English, yeah?
I speak well.
And what else?
I speak well.
And what else you speak? Do you speak Susu?
Yeah.
Susu, Baba's language?
Yeah.
Susu is the language I grew up speaking in Guinea-Conakry. But Ariana and I, we are learning new things all time. I train as dancer in Africa, and I call my dance company here in Cardiff, Bale Nimba. It means the joy of living.
What have you decided that your next Bale Nimba project is going to be about?
The next project, Bale Nimba, is going to be about how people see me, who I am, what I've been through. I'm looking forward to start the rehearsal.
What about your story, Baba?
My story?
Yeah.
This little girl take a little walk through the forest in the jungle, and the lion see. The lion come fast.
So how do you think people do see you when you walk up and down Cambridge Road here in Cardiff?
Yeah. I think people see me as human, first, as black man, but they don't know what I do. But if I'm talking about how people see me, that is through my past.
Through your past.
Through my past. I want to share something about my life, about my culture, about my land, about my country.
The thing about Idrissa is that he was an experienced performer and choreographer before he came here. He was top of his game.
My friend Amanda Ville-Pastor teaches in music department in Cardiff University.
So I think his challenge has not been to learn the craft, but to adapt it for audiences who have never seen this, or to present it in such a way that people can understand.
I live in Africa all my life. working as dancer and choreographer. Dancing changed my life. So did meeting Lori. It was one football game, Guinea-Senegal. I decided I want to watch that game in Gambia because I know the way we sport football is bad. When Senegal lose, you're from Guinea, you're living in Senegal, you're in trouble. They will beat you. So I come to Gambia, and the first day I arrive in Gambia is that day I see Lori.
I was in the middle of setting up like a social enterprise selling drums, and I think I hadn't realised quite how much sort of unwanted attention I would get being there on my own. And some people had actually stolen some of my things. They'd broken into where I was staying, stole money, stole the drums that I'd bought. And somebody else had taken me to buy some more drums, and somebody was trying to resell my own drum back to me. So I was having a bit of an argument, like a heated discussion in the street, and then Idrissa came along with some other people, and they just tried to sort of calm things down. And there was just something about him. He was just really, really calm. I mean, a like, real spark about him.
And I tell her why I came to Gambia. It's because the football game, and I go company in Senegal. Name is Bougarabou. I was the choreograph of the company. So she was asking me if I can teach her to play drum. And I say, yes, I can teach you to play drum. I can teach you to dance. So we go. I give her the first rhythm called sinte. Bizapa, tapa, piti, 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 zampam, pang, zampam, pang, zabang, zabang, zabang.
And after a few days, he came to see me and he said, look, actually, I don't live in Gambia. I live in Senegal. And I've only come here on a short holiday, and I have to go back to Senegal tomorrow. Why don't you come with me? So I did.
That was crazy. We just met. She didn't know me. I don't know her. And just she followed the wind of life, taking her to the right place where she should be. And we went together.
Hiya, can you tell me where Ballet Nimba are rehearsing?
Dance is very important in Guinea-Conakry. We follow in the footstep of the national dance company, the Ballets Africains. This was very important, inspirational company for Guinea and for dance. Ricky Stein was the manager of the Ballets Africains for many years.
At the Sorbonne in Paris, a student called Keita Fodiba, a Guinean, had created Les Ballets Africains, which was formed by people that liked African dance from various African countries. But then when Guinea, in the late 50s, voted for independence, Sékou Touré, the president, brought Keita Fodiba back and said, okay, culture for me is primordial. Let's create the ultimate African dance company.
My first identity is my culture, is my culture. What else can we do better than that? We cannot do nothing else better than that. That is that who we are. Is that why today we are representing Guinea-Conakry in the Western country by dancing, by singing.
Kunkuba is dance of the farmer.
In the case of Guinea, as in many African countries, dance is not something you make up. Dance is relevant to the history of a people, and all of the dances have meaning. They're all to do with something. You know, I realized this when I'd be invited to a funeral or a wedding, and I'd see the dances that were in the show being practiced at the party because there was a dance that was representative of circumcision or coming of age. So I quickly realized that what I was presenting was a panorama of the history of a country.
So all those is part of conversation. This we do this, and I just go, see, walking on the field.
One of the things that happens for cultural outsiders who don't have knowledge of the form is that they think it's improvised. Because it's fluid, it's seamless, and they don't understand the underpinning structures, they think it's improvised, which is very arrogant in a way, because it's the assumption that in our culture everything's planned and composed and cerebral and it's written, you know, that they're all stereotypes really. And in the other world with the big O, people that aren't like us, it's instinctual, it's natural, it's embodied, definitely not of the intellect, and is not generated through careful intellectual processes.
I just came back from Guinea. Every time I go to see different dance company rehearsal, I feel sad. They always have problem, but they are strong. They are really, really strong. They are saying, this is our culture. We are not going to let this down.
You've got another instrument there. What's that?
This one is gunguma. Yeah. Life as dancer in Guinea is very, very hard. Tough. We have very little pay. Sometimes you don't get paid. No expenses. No medical care. But it's that I want to do from very young age. Dance to me, it means music as well. So for me, every night, I take this gunguma, go to different bar, you know, sing for people. Sometimes you make good money. Sometimes it's not good money, but it's enough of what you want. In UK here, I take this one instead, people think you're mad. But in Africa, people think, wow, man, they put money inside. And it's that how some people can be artists, you know, and it changes your life. Gunguma, this is a calabash, as we say. With those two metals, you're going to put the saw blade in.
And is that what they are? They're saw blades?
Yeah, they're saw blades. Yeah, saw blades, very good. So this is gunguma.
At that point, did you have a sense of him as a dancer as well, as a performer?
When we went to Senegal, where he was living, I saw their shows and I saw the dancing. And, you know, I did think it was great, but I don't know, I just wasn't really that interested in it. Other people were interested in it, you know, and then I started to realise he's actually a pretty good dancer. And he was always talking about all his ideas and how he wants to do this and he wants to have his company. And, you know, this is how Ballet Nimba really started, is because Idris has always got lots and lots of ideas and they're always big ideas. I think he's always had to be quite self-sufficient because he's never been able to rely that much on other people.
Do you want tea, coffee? This one we call Café Touba. Café Touba is from East African coffee. And you got normal coffee? UK coffee? I don't know which one you prefer.
Can I try the Senegal coffee?
Yes. If I'm living in Wales, I got family in Wales, I got daughter, I got wife, I got house. I'm Welsh. And if we come to the British sons, I am British. You know, I love to be both. You know. The same, I want to be able to find out about my family in Africa. I would love for them to come visit me here.
Do you think they think that we have it easy here?
Yes, and we do have easy here compared to them. 100%. You go to hospital, you don't have money, it's okay, this medicine is £5 or £2. You don't have that £2, if you don't be careful, you'll be dead there, you'll die there. The land is very rich, but the population are poor. Mineral, bauxite, diamond, they all go out, nothing come, you know, no income. This is Café Touba from Senegal.
Dakar world. The time I was living there, I would always have this. You want sugar?
Milk, maybe?
Yeah. But you can try it first.
The first time I went to Guinea, after 2 days, martial law was declared. There was rioting, lots of people were shot and killed. It was quite a scary experience. I had to go to the embassy to get help. I got quite ill at one point, you know, and Idrissa looked after me. And eventually I thought, well, if we are going to possibly have more a significant relationship, then I need to see how he would be if he came over here. So he came over here as a visitor.
You and me are in communication. You know, sometimes
I still feel like visitor sometimes, but Cardiff in Wales is my home. And every Friday afternoon at the university here, I lead music group called Langi, mean gathering.
I'd seen him rehearse a couple of times with Ballet Nimba and been at some rehearsals. And I started talking to him about doing something in the School of Music and setting up an ensemble.
I teach music the way I learned it, which means orally, nothing written down. It's not another way to learn the music or dance in Guinea. You just have to listen and watch, pay attention.
That is very good. But what are we supposed to use today? Is this to give us the time? The same as we do this, even with our leg, you know, it helps. 1, 2, 3, 4.
In the first week, he had printed out the words to the first song that goes Ewayo Laila Minara Sulu, and so we were reading it off the sheet, and it was quite hard to grasp. And in a way, it actually made it harder reading off the sheet.
You know, feel free. Yeah. For example, me. Yeah. When I'm doing this, yeah. Limania, limania.
It takes a lot to overcome a whole lifetime of living in one culture where everything is a bit stiffer. Let's face it. I find it difficult because usually you learn the music and then you play it. So when you're learning it and play it at the same time, it's a bit difficult to just dive in there. But I heard a story about his daughter. Apparently she will go around singing, and she'll just pick up any instrument and just go for it, because ever since she was born, she's been around people like Idrissa and his company.
Anyone who don't listen to music, they are mad people. I love music. I sit down by myself and I love this song. Say, Toshi lagbe lagbe e. My first thought was, wow, look at this country, it's beautiful, lot color. We come to the service station, buy coffee. I try to find the sugar to put in my coffee. I find the brown sauce. And I say, Lori, can you try this? I don't know what is the taste. And she tries it. Oh my God, what he done? I said, no, I put that thing, brown sauce. No. And she buy a new one. Yeah, and I get that one. I say, ah, okay, wow. If I don't be careful, I will kill myself.
Oh yeah,
bloody work cold out there, I'm freezing.
Yeah, my wash machine is it got headache. So Mr. Doctor. Doctor's here.
What's the trouble with it?
Bon, the trouble with it.
We went into an Italian restaurant in Cardiff, and there were some people at a table next to us, and this woman who was sitting with her back to us had swiveled her chair around, and she was just staring at the table, just staring, unashamedly. And I don't think she was being rude. She was just amazed and curious. And it was as if she'd never seen a black person before, or she was really curious about a Welsh person being married to an African, because Laurie's always speaking Welsh with her daughter, and Adrisa speaks in Welsh with her daughter. And so this went on for what seemed an eternity.
This one is for the new production, Ntoki. Ntoki, how do you see me?
You know, the thing with the language, Idrissa had no problem understanding that because he already speaks like six of the languages. When we have a Ballinimba rehearsal, he can speak to Ariana, our daughter, in Welsh. He'll speak to people in English, he'll be speaking French, he'll be speaking Susu, he'll speak Malinke, he might speak Wolof with the Senegalese dancer. And he's just flits between one from the other, and it's just completely normal to him. Sometimes he'll go, oh, well, you know, I didn't go to university, or, you know, like as if he's really uneducated. And yet, you know, he can fluently speak six or seven languages. He knows all these rhythms and dances. I mean, there's hundreds of them. I would definitely not say that he's uneducated. He's just educated in a different way.
We used to be always on the field. Me and my dad, my mom, my sister, and my brothers. This Tosi Lagbe is part of the field, the happiness in the village before the field.
The first time I went to Guinea, he took me up to Kindia, which is where he was born. But for whatever reason, when Idrissa was 5 years old, his mum sent him to go and live with his uncle in Conakry, which is the capital of Guinea. It's something that I found quite difficult to understand why exactly, but that seems to be fairly common in Guinea. You know, when I was there, there was a little girl whose name was Salimatu, and she was living with a woman who couldn't have children just because she also was called Salimatu. So she'd been given to that woman.
They decide, you know, they say, oh, they want I to come to Conakry. And I was so excited, you know. 5 years old, I don't know nothing. 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they send me to school. And I remember the first day I went to school, it's from 9 to 12. So you have break like 10 o'clock. And 10 o'clock, me, I must think it's the end of class. So I came back home. And they say, Idrissa, what are you doing? I say, yeah, the school finished. Say, no, this is just break time. You should go back.
If he hadn't gone to live in Conakry, then he probably wouldn't have become involved with these dance companies, which are all over Conakry. So that's the real hub for where you want to go if you want to do that sort of training. However, he also lived with his uncle, who I think was... his uncle was a very famous singer in Guinea at the time, called Dudu Dada Sisoko, but it was quite difficult because I think he was quite tyrannical, quite controlling person. He definitely didn't want Idrissa to be an artist as well.
Every day I go to rehearsal, when I came back, they beat me. But it's something I love, it's something I want to do. And I can see where my life gonna go, who I want to be in the future. I didn't know Europe. If you ask me, I only look on the sky and see where the sky ends, where my eye can end on the sky. I say that is the end of the world. It's there where the world ends.
There's this impression that things are really easy over here. And when he came over here, especially because he came as a visitor, so he couldn't work or anything because he just came over to see me. And I lived in purpose-built flats, you know, so I didn't even know my neighbours or anything. And Idrissa just found that really strange.
Does it ever occur to you that you might, by coming here and living here, become a stranger?
Sometimes it's very, very difficult because I left so many behind me. Who's calling me again? Omoruba. Yeah, na interview na yiki, men nekli ma akosi dans 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Ah, awa yiri, wente nara. Ba, merci. So that is called from Guinea again. Yeah. I want people to see me as who I am. Artist, dancer, choreographer, because artist is exemplar. I really feel positive. I know it's not gonna be easy, but is that why we are here in life? Chance can come from anywhere.
Yes!
Thank you, my brother.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ballet Nimba African Dance Company based in Wales. I hope you will enjoy the performance. Thank you for coming. Thank you and see you.
Hey, Ariana Kadi Kamara. Ariana, it's time to go to the park. Are you coming to the park? Come on, me, I'm gonna go now.
Okay, let's go. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.